Hello and welcome to the Product Marketing AI podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Elliot Rayner. He's the CMO of Arion. He's a master storyteller, expert in residence with the PMA. He's also made the move from senior PMM to CMO, and we're going to delve into that later in the show. Elliot, you're very welcome.
John, great to speak to you today. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good here in Dublin. A little bit wet, a little bit windy, but I think that's kind of par for the course. Before we do get into the agenda today, I do want to talk about Riverside.fm. It's where I record all of these podcasts, create short clips, fix the transcriptions, and their new features have really allowed me to reduce the time it takes to publish each episode. Their new feature, Magic Clips, is really awesome, and it's going to allow me to create amazing short clips to promote this episode with Elliot and others, of course, in season two. We've all been there trawling through recordings and transcripts, trying to find those little nuggets that's going to help promote your show. Riverside does this all automatically. It really is AI in action when it comes to podcasting. I'm delighted to be partnering with them for this season. Visit riverside.fm and use the code productmarketingAI. You'll get an exclusive 20% discount of any Riverside individual plan. You can start for free by clicking on the link in the show notes and use productmarketingAI when you get to the purchase box on riverside.fm. Thanks to everybody at Riverside. Elliot, let's get straight into it. Tell us a little bit about you and your role at Arion.
Yeah, so Arion is a really interesting company, which is what drew me to jump on board. Basically, they have a mission to decode human movement. What that means essentially is they have this unbelievable, groundbreaking digital insole that goes into any shoe, and it allows us to capture an incredible amount of data about your movement. And what we've learned through our time is that movement is incredibly unique. Because of that, the data that we capture can do a lot of incredible things, whether it's reducing your chance of injury from running, whether it's working with top athletes to improve their performance, or to help you. What is our main focus right now is helping people buy the right running shoes in store. So you can go into any running shop, pick three shoes, run for 50 steps, and our AI algorithm will be able to tell you which shoe is better suited to your specific. So really exciting sports company, tech company, but also very data-driven and AI company as well. So it's a really interesting place to go to work.
That's a really powerful mix of technology, sports, and I think probably a dream job, I think, for many listening to this type of a podcast for both product marketers and for marketers in general. You've made the move from senior PMM to CMO. Talk about the three most time-intensive elements of your job as a CMO.
Yeah, I think you can always split your time across the funnel usually. So I look at the funnel as, and there's three kind of main focuses. First is the content calendar. It is to help bring in leads. So we spend a lot of time with how we can generate content. Quite lucky that we've got, you know, physical products that we can rely on, that we can create content from, and also a lot of data and sports related. So we tend to focus on creating quite dynamic content that we can use to attract people to the brand. After that, it's really about sales enablement. You know, it is a complicated product. It's data. It's very high level science. It's biomechanics. So the more that we can put really strong sales enablement content into the hands of our salespeople, means that those leads that were created by the content, the more chance we have of converting. And then the third part would be customer success. You know, we're a subscription business when it comes to retail. So just because we've sold doesn't mean that that's the end of the journey. And so we have to do a lot of time as a marketing team to make sure that those customers are happy with the product, using the product, or using new features. And we're collecting a lot of their feedback to know how to guide us, how to make the product better, and how to make it better in the future.
You've got three key areas there, Elliot. You've got your customer success, you've got your sales enablement, you've got your content calendar. Obviously, three really key elements across the business and not just in marketing. Have you any ways in automating or speeding up some of this work? Because it's obviously a massive workload across the entire business.
Yeah, we're a very small team and that's really the challenge. But what's interesting is that's the solutions to that. So yeah, we have kind of two solutions to automate. We have, you know, a real world solution with freelancers. So we work with a lot of really high quality talented freelancers who we can reach out to if we've got a great idea for a campaign or something we need to put together. We've just done something this week with a really great animation team who were able to build a 3D animation team of something that we can't justify with words or content, and they have to bring it together. And then on the other side of that is taking the benefits that exist now with AI and cheap digital tools. So for example, with the content calendar, Hootsuite is just an amazing asset. It makes you feel like you've got an extra couple of social media managers sometimes, and especially with some of the new AI tools coming out. And it allows us to lay out the next 3 months and get quite a long-term strategy with it, rather than, you know, what we're doing this week, which is really strong. So yeah, I can, between those two things, it's never been easier for a small team to get close to performing like a large team, but it's still a major challenge.
Yeah, I think it's an advantage as well, isn't it? Because sometimes you get into larger organizations, as much as they try to go faster, the processes and the elements in the team that are already in place mean that it's, even though you can create more stuff and you can create more content, you can't necessarily get it out the door faster. The content calendar is that little bit more packed, isn't it?
For sure. And that's my world. I started Adidas, so a major global brand at the global headquarters. And you know, it's, there are positive and negatives to experiences. You have such support and access to resources within those large environments. But of course, the smaller organizations, you are like a speedboat rather than a tanker. You can rip up a strategy 1 week and go with something. Don't need too many signatures to make something happen. So it's trying to find the balance between those positives and negatives to go forward. But because of the nature of our product, the size of our brand, and the fact that we are basically a disruption product and a disruption brand, it kind of suits us to be more dynamic and flexible as a team.
That's great to hear. Tell us a little bit about your path from PMM leader to CMO. It's not necessarily a well-trodden path, and not many people have made the jump across. So tell me a little bit about how you use the skills to parlay your career into a CMO, where you currently are with Aria.
Yeah, I mean, pretty straightforward. I just took a risk, or more in a fact that the management team took a risk on me. You know, I think I had a great experience within those two areas of tech and sport. And so I had some experience, if I didn't have experience of leading a complete marketing category from a brand. But also it's just taking the risk to go somewhere a lot smaller. So, you know, I was at big brands, and to take the risk of going to a smaller brand with smaller resources and smaller budget, it made it possible for me to make that jump. So it wasn't like I'm going from a similar size business as a senior PM and doing that. So that was a major part of that process as well. And really, I think everyone within marketing, I think the distinction between different categories of marketing, sometimes I think are too strong, you know, product marketers, brand marketers, growth marketers. I always thought that I got into marketing because I love marketing and got good at product marketing just because that's where I was. And I always wanted the challenge to look over the wall and think, oh, I'd love to experiment with growth marketing. And I think every marketer wants to one day build their own brand, start from scratch. I think that's really exciting. And so what ends up happening is that we have these T-shaped kind of careers where we specialize in one, and then through our career, try and get as much experience from the left and the right as possible, so that when that opportunity emerges where someone wants to take a risk on us, we've got that ready to say, well, I actually collaborated very strongly with the brand team and I had brand experience here. Well, I did this campaign with the growth team and that gave me experience in growth. So that's the only way. You're very rarely going to get one person who's got experience in all three, because that's just not the nature of career. So yeah, I was very fortunate with the career steps I had to one, try and gain as much experience as I could from outside my comfort zone. And then two, that I could, you know, timing is everything, to find the right team who are willing to take a risk that I could try and lead all three categories for a brand like Aria.
That's tremendous insight, Elias. And I love that path and how you outlined how you went from that PMM role into CMO. I think it's something that a lot of people are going to be interested in listening to the show as well, as they look at what their 3 to 5 year career path actually looked like in product marketing. So it's great to see that that path is there for people when they make the right moves, they've got the right experience, and they can parlay it into a role in smaller or medium sized company. Great insight. We're going to take a quick 30-second break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Elliot about his favorite tools, and also how he's used technology to help advance his career.
This episode is brought to you by Riverside.fm. If you want studio quality recordings and lightning fast editing, get the link in the show notes, click on it, use Product Marketing AI to get 20% off any individual plan. This is a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Product Marketing AI podcast. I'm here with Elliot Rayner. He's the CMO of Arion. In the first half, we went through his career path from PMM to CMO as a whole, some of the ways he automates his role, and also some of the key areas that he focuses on in a CMO day to day. We're going to start talking tools now. Elliot, give me three tools you can't live without as a CMO and why.
Sure. I mean, the first one, which I use every day, I always try some way to try and bring it into every kind of meeting is Miro. I think it's just a really great way of presenting information and building information together. So I've used it across a few different teams now. But yeah, I think the obvious way is to use it for cross collaboration. But I also think when I do my storytelling workshops, it's so great to get away from slides and to create something where other people can engage and interact with. So that's one of my favorite tools, not just for that presentation, but the building and brainstorming together. I think it's a really nice way to we do a weekly workshop meeting where anyone can bring a new idea and we can workshop together. And Miro is the perfect asset for that. My second one would be something I've depended on for a long time, which is Grammarly. I love copywriting. I like to write a lot of the copy myself. I really enjoy it. I've got a nighttime brain, so it's usually when everyone's asleep and I get the laptop out and suddenly all of the things I wanted to say during the day that I couldn't quite write, then suddenly is a lot easier. And I don't know why, but it still doesn't help my spelling and my grammar and all of the other things that rush. Grammarly is the content. It started to blend a little bit into ChatGPT because they offer a similar kind of service with that. So, but using the two of them just gives you the confidence to write much more, and you can look back at it later, which is a godsend.
It's like the little angel on your shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just that imposter syndrome, or that just criticizing, like, it's not perfect. I'm going to spend 10 minutes fixing this one line rather than forget that line, write 10 more lines, and we can fix that later. And that, I think that's just, it's really great for me, and I really recommend it to other people.
There's nothing a grammar geek loves more than pointing out grammatical errors in your text.
I just look for those red lines because I won't spot them myself. So that's why it's a goddamn. And of course, yeah. It's one of the, we talk about AI tools, and Grammarly has been around for a long time, and specifically on AI, and gets to know your writing style. I've really noticed that if you can invest a bit of time to teach it a few things about what kind of tone of voice you're going for, then it gets even better as a product. And I mentioned it before, the third one is Hootsuite. So I think anyone who uses social media a lot, but maybe doesn't have a huge amount of experience of it, Hootsuite is a great tool. A few examples is, you know, when to post. They don't just give you one time. I think I'm always surprised to see what it suggests. And now the AI tools of being able to help you understand what other types of content should be posted at different times, and even generating examples is really exciting. And then on the other end, it's the best way to understand how your social posts performed, really good data tracking. So that's a really great tool that makes our team depends on a lot.
Yeah, so three really good pieces of tooling there. You have Miro, you've got Grammarly, and you've got Hootsuite across the whole remit of idea generation, I suspect kind of product marketing, launch activity, all those different areas. You've got Grammarly for your storytelling, your copywriting. And then you've also got Hootsuite from your social perspective. Super important, obviously, from a broader CMO remit, and something that not necessarily all product marketers would have experience in it. We all have tools we love. We all have tools we hate. Which is the one tool that you dislike using on a day-to-day?
Yeah, it's not even a tool, I suppose, but I love to use Google rather than Microsoft Teams. It's a small thing, but I have a Google phone, and I really like the idea of bringing everything under one area. So you've got Calendar, Drive, And it's more of not a criticism. It's just I'm so much on that side that I used Google tools with one brand for a very long time, and then switching back is always tough. So that's one thing I still struggle with a little bit.
Teams is a pretty common one, I think, and something that's kind of felt across the business.
Yeah, I think it's the other way around for a lot of people, though. A lot of people hate Google and much prefer Teams. It's just what phone or laptop you started with, and then get brainwashed and believing.
Or even whether you're working for an enterprise or for a smaller business, perhaps.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a clear thing in that.
Very good. We've one kind of final question I want to ask you, Elliot, and that's all about technology and how it's helped you progress from a PMM leader to a CMO, if at all. How do you feel the technology has helped you advance your career?
Absolutely has. I mean, in two ways. The first one, I mean, if you look at all of the tools we just discussed about how great they are, you can probably get a year subscription for all three for less than 50 to 100 euro. So that's really incredible that it's not just the effectiveness of these tools, but how running a small business or a small startup, they're affordable. And I think that's what allows a role like this to exist, is that you can effectively do a good job with a very small budget. But the second thing for me is, which has been throughout my whole career, is the relationship between technology and education. You know, I think at any point you have to keep on learning within the job and outside of the job as well. And I think that's where I rely a lot on learning online. So whether it's listening to podcasts, I've done a lot of online certifications with the PMA. Of course, I teach my own storytelling workshop with the PMA now as well. And so I think that's a major thing. Whenever I've encountered something in my career that I don't understand, you're never more than a few clicks from being able to listen to a mentor who's done it before, access to maybe a Slack community of peers who are facing the same thing, and you can ask them, or by taking an online certification or a course or a YouTube video to learn it as well. So I've really relied on that. And I think that's something that's I keep doing every year. Also challenge my team to find something that they want to learn that year and do it, because it's a lot easier than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I love that continuous improvement mindset, and particularly around education. Elliot, where can people get in touch with you if they want to hear more about both the storytelling courses on PMA and also get in touch with you directly?
Yeah, so follow me on LinkedIn. Very easy to find me, Elliot Rayner. But yeah, where I spend most of my time outside of Arian is storytellingcertified.com. But there we have a course with the PMA, so where you can master product storytelling. We also do professional workshops. Then you can also find a lot of resources on there, like all of the frameworks that I teach that are there for free, of course, using Miro, my favorite tool. So you can, if you want to play around and use some of the frameworks that I use to create product stories, you can find all of that on Storytelling Certified.
Great to hear. One final reminder, don't forget to visit riverside.fm. Use the code ProductMarketingAI to get 20% off any Riverside individual plan. The link to get that discount code, that link is in the show notes. This is a limited time offer, so make sure to act fast. Elliot, thanks so much for joining me today on the Product Marketing AI podcast.
Thank you, Sean. Really enjoyed it.